order.
Hi, good morning, Chairperson, and to everyone on the platform. Chair, we correct. Shall I proceed doing the roll call, Chair?
Yes, please.
Mr. Mbuyani?
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, colleagues. I'm present. Thank you.
Good morning.
Chair, Mr. Malamatia, Chair.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, colleagues. I'm present. Thank you.
Good morning.
Chair, Ms. Mwatse, Chair.
Recording in progress.
Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning, everyone. I'm present.
Good morning.
Chair, Mr. Burns Namasi, Chair.
Molo Stalo Namalungu Ekomiti Yabulis.
Molo.
Chair, Mr. Mulder, Chair.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, all present.
Yamora.
Chair, Ms. Mutahum, Chair.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, colleagues. I'm present.
Good morning.
Chair, Mr. Twin.
Taubon Sihlalo. Good morning, colleagues. Present, Chair.
Good morning. I'm trying to think the response.
Chair, Mr. Cuthbert, Chair.
Morning, Chair.
Morning.
Chair, those are the members currently on the platform, Chair, so we may proceed, Chair.
Thank you. You may have the agenda. You're all welcome on this platform. Everyone, stakeholders, members, and South Africa, South African citizens. Can we have apologies, Committee Secretary?
Chair, we have an apology from Mr. McPherson. He will join the meeting, but just a couple of minutes late, Chair. And we have no other apologies at the moment, Chair.
Thank you very much. So we have then the next agenda item, which is the adoption of the agenda. The agenda is tabled here, the deliberations on the submissions received on the Copyright Amendment Bill, continuations of deliberations on the bill, and then consideration of the report regarding the appointment of the NLC chairperson. Can I have, and in closing remarks, can I have a mover and a seconder for the adoption of the agenda? Can we have a mover and a seconder for the adoption of the agenda? Honorable Amoatse.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I move for adoption of the agenda.
Thank you very much. Can we have a seconder to that proposal that we adopt the agenda?
Mr. Mbuyani, Chair.
Honorable Mbuyani.
Chairperson, thank you very much for the opportunity. I second that you adopt the agenda as tabled. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So in continuing our deliberations on the remitted bills, I think we need to be mindful of the fact that we will be letting South Africa down if we don't resolve the issues, the outstanding issues on the remitted bills, so that we can come to the conclusion of our process as a PC on these remitted bills. So we are then here today to look at, to further deliberate on submissions received in relation to the Copyright Amendment Bill and the DTIC and Advocate Van der Merwe's responses in this regard. More importantly, in this meeting, we should also seek to address the outstanding matters that require further discussion as indicated by the DTIC and Advocate Pandemerwe. Thank you very much. Can I hand over to Advocate Pandemerwe and Dr. Masocha from the department? Thank you very much.
Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning to the members. Yes, and I think I speak for myself and the department when I say thank you for the time that was given to us to do some further research. There was only 5 issues that were outstanding, but the impact, you know, it is something that needs to be carefully considered. As Chair just said, you know, this bill affects a lot of people, and we want to make sure that the advice that we provide is the correct advice. I am going to share my screen. Yes, it looks like it is sharing. And with your permission, Chair, I'm just going to turn my video off in case we have that same issue as a few weeks ago. Also, I'm looking away from my camera when I present. So what we have here in this presentation is there were 5 outstanding issues. And at the last slide, there's also something that I just want to speak to in respect of a correction. Sorry, just see what's going on, why can't I go there? Okay. The first issue that was outstanding was the definitions of technological protection measure and technological protection measure circumvention device. The concern that the public raised that unless you have a clear link with infringement, then the way the definitions were advertised, which were trying to close loopholes and make it a bit tighter and give more protection. The concern was that additional protection, making the definition so tight, would compromise 3 freedoms. The first freedom, and this was explained by one of the submitters, Dr. Doctorow, the freedom to arrange your conduct to your own benefits rather than that of the shareholders of the companies. In other words, what they were saying is, to use the product as you want to, and not that you bought it, you want to use it for yourself, your own personal use. You're not wanting to infringe copyright, but you want to use this product. You don't want to, because the company says you must play it on this device. You only can play it on that device. You want to be able to use the product. Then the second freedom is of third parties to offer accessories, consumables, services, and repair for the products they own. And here I've pointed out the concern, and we've recently in consumer law, not that recently, but it is something still fresh in the memory, where your guarantee on a motor vehicle, for instance, you had to initially always take it back to the dealer, or you would have lost that guarantee. Now there is a bit of flexibility, and you can take it to a recognized repair center. So this is the kind of freedom that would be curtailed, because unless if the definitions are very tightly worded, it would only be the dealer that can circumvent the technological protection measure. But if the definitions are a bit broader, allow for a little bit of flexibility, bringing in that link with the infringement, then we might still have this freedom of allowing third parties to repair the product. The example in this specific submission, and I thought this was very apt because of the very recent history, is that in America, the technicians of the hospital technicians could not repair the ventilators because of how strict the wording was. And that is something, you know, that is really a concern and must be kept in mind. And the last freedom that would be affected by a strict wording is that because the technological protection measure in itself is something that should be almost secret, because if you know how it works, it's easy to circumvent it. Companies don't want how that technological protection measure works to be disclosed, not even in audit reports. So it also threatened that situation and stopped transparency. Added to this concern is also that Section 27 provides for an offence in respect of circumventing a technological protection measure. So this is something that we have to very, very carefully consider. As I say, the proposed amendment was to tighten up and to make sure that you protect copyright owners. But the DTI had a look at this, myself had a look at this, And when we look at the proposed wording, and I mean, the whole bill is about a balancing, the balancing the rights of the copyright owner, balancing the rights of users. And all of this has its own effect on the economy, this interplay between the parties. And the proposed wording, in both my view and that of the department, is that it has too many unintended consequences if it is this tightly worded. There needs to be a clear nexus with the infringement. So what both the department and myself are proposing to the committee is that we rather retain the wording of the bill before the advertisement. In other words, allow that clear link with infringement is indicated in the bill. However, there were other comments that were also brought in to add, for instance, product to the definition of technological protection measure and service to the definition of technological protection measure circumvention device. And those we would still recommend. The next is in respect of the use of fair practice and the extent justified by the purpose. Now, these two phrases, they seem to be very similar. But when you look closer, you see that the one speaks to almost an objective custom. What is the industry doing about this fair practice? The other one looks at the amount, for instance, of words that you used in your quotation, the amount of pages that you made a personal copy of. So there is a slight difference between the two. And the department and myself, we went back to the treaties. And we looked exactly what it is that the treaties are saying in respect of each of the exceptions. And what we are proposing to the committee is that we should use wording that is as closely as possible aligned to the treaties. And what would that be? In respect of quotations and teaching, so it affects three sections. Sections 12B1A, which deals with quotations, 12B1B, which deals with teaching, and 12D, which deals with teaching as well. The Berne uses, Berne Convention uses both fair practice and extent justified by the purpose. And it's our proposal then that both must be used in respect of these three exceptions. Then in respect of reporting on current events and reproduction of lectures, addresses, sermons that were made to the public, 12B1E deals with this. And when we looked at the Berne Convention, Article 10 bis only uses extent justified by the information purpose. So our recommendation is that we only use extent justified by the purpose. Then in respect to translations and personal copies, yeah, there isn't a specific exception in any of the treaties. And what we did is we looked to see what and how can we fit this in, because I mean it must be somewhere. So Berne Article 9 provides for specific exceptions, and it is actually just a three-step test that Article 9 provides there. But we can then bring both personal copies and translations under Article 9's wording. And then we had a look at what Berne, there's a guideline on the Berne Convention, and we went to have a look and see what is fair practice defined as and what is extent justified by the purpose defined as. And what we found is that the test for fair practice is the closest related to Article 9's wording. And accordingly, in respect of translations and personal copies, we would recommend that the bill only uses fair practice as a test for fairness. The next is mentioning the name of the author as far as is practicable. Now, the concern that was raised here was that if I make a collage of 1,000 pictures, it's not possible to put the name of the author on each of these photos, and therefore it's not always practicable to do so. But the department and I then went to have a look at what is the history of these exceptions. You know, where are we coming from? What is going on? And we found that on a number of these exceptions, they are already in the Copyright Act. And the Copyright Act does not use the phrase as far as is practicable. And accordingly, what we recommend is that where this is not in the Act, that we in fact not included in the bill either. And that would be in respect of quotations, illustrations for teaching, and reporting on current events and reproduction of lectures. Then two new exceptions, the one in respect of disability. This is not something where we're of the view that it in practice would be difficult to include the name of the author on an accessible format copy. So that we recommend that as far as practicable not be included in the bill, because it might result in a situation where the moral rights of an author is not respected. However, in respect of reproduction for education and academic activities, because this is a new exception to the bill, and taking into account the concerns of the public, we recommend here that as far as is practicable, be included. The fourth outstanding issue deals with offences. And the offence of communicating the work to the public or making it available to the public by wire or wireless means, the public indicated that this should not just be when this communication or making available is done for commercial purposes. It should also be for non-commercial purposes. In other words, the proposal was to delete the phrase for commercial purposes. And the question that remained was, well, you know, when we look at offences, this is something serious. We have a sanction that carries a jail sentence, a fine. It could have a big impact on a person's life. So we need to be cautious when we create an offence. And the question that we had to ask is these actions, communicating a work to the public or making it available to the public by wire or wireless means, is serious enough and has such a serious impact that we actually do need to criminalize it? And the department considered this very seriously, and the view that came back is that it really is a serious nature, or this infringement really has a serious nature. So whether it's done for commercial purposes or non-commercial purposes, the impact is of such a nature that it should be criminalized. And accordingly, it is our recommendation that the words "and for commercial purposes" be deleted from the bill, and that would result in this offense being applicable to actions where a person communicates a work to the public or makes it available to the public, whether that is done for commercial purposes or not for commercial purposes. The fifth issue is was the question of negligent actions. Now, what we have here is that last week I explained it, you know, if there's a nice puddle of water that's nice and muddy and you've got your new rain boots on and you see this puddle of mud. Now, if you have intent, you will say to yourself, these new rain boots are the perfect boots to stomp in that puddle of mud. And then you walk to the puddle of mud and you stomp in it. That is intent. You acknowledge what's happening, you know what's going to be, you know your boots will be full of mud afterwards, and you do it. That is intent. Now, negligent action would be where you know it's raining outside, you know there might be puddles there, you know there might be mud, you put your new rain boots on, and you start walking outside, and someone calls your name, and you step back, and you step into the puddle. Now, that is negligence. You didn't intend to step in the puddle, but you didn't look around you enough. You perhaps should have been more aware of your surroundings, and it's negligent that it's a negligent action of stepping into the puddle. So that's the difference between the two. And the question is whether this negligent action should be criminalized. And yes, it can be. For instance, if you take the life of another in a negligent manner, we have culpable homicide, and that is an offence, because the nature of the consequence of what happens because of your negligent action is so serious that the state wants this to be deterred. You should know that you need to be aware when you're dealing with other people's lives, or if you're doing something that could affect another person's life, like for instance negligent driving. That's also an offence. So these are the things that we need to think about when we look at negligence to be included in an offence. So we also did a little bit of a comparison with similar acts that deals, you know, in this sphere, like the Cyber Crimes Act, patents and so on. And what we could find is that negligence is not an offence in these acts. And also, when we look at the treaties require adequate legal protection, effective legal protection. It doesn't require negligence to be an offence. And, you know, because it is something that is very rarely made an offence, negligent action, because it is something that has such a serious consequence where a person didn't intend to commit a crime but is now liable to an offence, perhaps a jail sentence, perhaps a fine, a criminal record because of a negligent action. We are of the view that should it have been something where the treaties want negligent actions to be an offence, that is something that would have been clearly stated. It is left to countries, however, to decide what is adequate, what is effective. And if we then look at our law and the comparisons that we did, it seems that the South African law is of the view that if intent is made an offence, that is effective, that is adequate. And so our recommendation is that negligence not be included as an offence. Now, if this recommendation is accepted, then we must also amend some consequential amendments to sections 28O and 28S. And the public was quite concerned about these consequential amendments because the wording was has reason to believe, but if negligence is made an offence, we needed to give an objective test, which is reasonably should have known. And the public was concerned about reasonably should have known included in 28O and 28S. So if the recommendation is accepted that only intent is an offence, we can then recommend that the public's concern be acknowledged and that 28O and 28S reverts to has reason to believe. The last slide is just a correction. Last week I presented in respect of translations. Now, if you look at the wording here, you will see that we have a paragraph which has an introductory sentence. It says, provided that such translation is, and then it lists three items. Now, the concern, as I understood it, was that these three items should be individually considered. And for me, that meant that each of them stands alone when it comes to the exception. However, when we now work through the bill again in this week, I discussed with the department and I rephrased the question a bit. And the question is, if you look at a translation, would it be fine if it is done for non-commercial purposes, but not for personal, educational, teaching, judicial proceedings, furtherance of language and culture, professional advice, as is stated in 2? And the answer is no. It must be both for non-commercial and the purpose must be as in paragraph 2. And then, of course, if it is communicated to the public, 3 comes into play as well, and it should be for non-commercial purposes. That's the only time when translations will be acceptable in this context of section 12B. So, in fact, we cannot have the word all there, because all means that you can only comply with one of the three, but we need to comply with all three, and therefore the wording should change to and. So here our recommendation has changed, and we want to recommend to the committee that the word combining these three factors should be and, so that it is clear that all three are a requirement before this exception in respect of translations can be applicable. Okay, thank you. That is the end of the presentation. The other recommendations that we have made as per that document in the with the table still stand. We've updated that document and that has also been circulated. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Advocate van der Merwe. Can I then just ask Dr. Masocha to speak to each of the way forwards that was just tabled now by the advocate, please, if you have anything to add, because I think we can then deliberate on each of the five recommendations. Dr. Masocha?
Morning, Chair. Morning, Honourable Members. Morning, Advocates, and everyone in the platform. Thank you very much for this opportunity to represent the department in these matters. We work extensively with the advocates on the issues that were outstanding, Chair. And I will not repeat the presentation that she has given, because the issues that we she presented were collaborated upon. We debated them. We looked at referencing and everything. I think the one way I would like to add something is on the technological protection measures, the definitions. It was a tough one, as you can recall. The department's initial recommendation was that the definitions as were advertised should be retained. And the concern was that we were very much concerned about balancing the interest of the rights holders, the authors, and the public in terms of consumers and users. And we were of the view it's very important to have strong TPMs. But then when we look back, reviewing the unintended consequences as outlined by the advocate in her initial presentation, and looking at the global discussions that are taking place around this technological protection measures, especially the strong ones, given that we are a developmental country, we are a developing country, and that these are new measures that are now in the act, in the new bill, that were not initially there, we were of the view that perhaps we need to be more cautious. We need to apply caution in terms of bringing these technological protection measures, because of those many unintended consequences. I think that where we were trying to preach them was to ensure that we do have this effective legal protection, strong protection. However, the consideration for our developmental context, the consideration of the unintended consequences, and the fact that these issues are complex, even in the global context. Even countries that are applying them at that high level are grappling with the balancing effect. So that's why we think that it's important that we apply this approach, and but also noting the concerns that other stakeholders who have recommended these strong measures had. So that's how we came to these conclusions, Chair. And the various aspects and the portions that the advocate presented, we have deliberated. So we are also of the same views. So we support those recommendations. And we are hoping that it will assist the committee with resolutions on these matters. Thank you very much.
Okay, so that's the only one that you have.
That's the only one I would like to add, Chair, because the others, as per how she presented, I'll be repeating what she has said. So I think that's fine. It's fine, Chair. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much. So, committee, can I then just check, are we accepting the recommendations as tabled by the department and Dr. Masocha, noting the emphasis that was placed by Dr. Masocha on the technical protection measures. Can I,
Chair?
Honourable Cuthbert?
Chair?
Honourable McPherson, your hand is up.
Sorry, Chair, I must just apologise. I had an urgent a constituency issue I had to attend to this morning, and I must apologise. I just want to just, if I can, just in 60 seconds, just request what is the recommendation, just so I can just quickly apply my mind to it. Thanks so much, and apologies.
Okay. I note the hand of Honourable Cuthbert. So can I then, Advocate van der Merwe, just zoom into what the recommendation is? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
On the first one. On the protection measures, the technical protection measures. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Chair. In respect of technological protection measures, the recommendation is that we revert to the definition as it was in the bill. In other words, the definition will create a very clear link with infringement
And we also recommend to add the word product to the definition of technological protection measure and the word service to the definition of technological protection measure circumvention device. In other words, so the circumvention is not just devices, but also services, and then a technological protection measure will also include a product. Those are the recommendations in respect of that, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Cuthbert, and then Honourable McPherson.
Yeah, I'll yield to you, Ms. McPherson.
Okay. Honourable McPherson, then Honourable Twaku, and then Honourable Mbuyani.
Thanks, Chair. I do again apologise for coming in, and I don't want to derail the process. I think what I just want to make the point is that, you know, I think that at some point last week, you know, we were sort of headed in a direction to say, look, you know, that there's a number of options that have been put on the table, and there was some serious consideration the committee needs to have about which direction we want to go. That discussion appears not to be taken. We appear to be sort of forging ahead, which I think is a mistake. Because I think that there are some very real issues that the committee needs to sort of grapple with, you know, potentially in a session, you know, free of officials, and no disrespect to them, and ask sort of what are the you know, the political decisions that we want to take around this. So it seems to me that if recommendations are being put forward that we want to do this or that in terms of fixing things, then that it appears that the decision is that we will continue to proceed with the bill and try and rectify what, in our opinion, is a fatally flawed bill. So, you know, we just want to put that on the table, that we are rather going to reserve our rights for later in the stage. Because, you know, you cannot unscramble a scrambled egg, and this egg was scrambled so long ago that it's difficult to even work out if it's still an egg. So we will just reserve ourselves for later in the process as to how we are going to possibly deal with this issue. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We note that input. Honourable Twaku.
No, thank you very much, Chair. Also, Chair, I wanted to, no, thanks for that, Chair. I wanted to really check, Chair, is that, is it probably possible that I can probably have a meeting with the advocate, you know, just to maybe take me, you know, these other terms, they actually seem to be a bit like, you know, complicated and all of, but not complicated, but need more application. You know, I need to really apply my mind in terms of, you know, the definitions and all of that, the technology, what do you mean from where, like that. Is it possible that maybe I can get that opportunity, maybe then I can actually give you my inputs on that? Or is it actually still late?
No, I think, Honourable Twaku, if you ask your questions of clarity, it will assist the whole committee. So
okay.
I think you can ask your questions now, then you can see going forward whether you want to then ask for more time as the EFF or, yeah, so you may go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to maybe just again. I hear the explanation that she actually gave to my honourable member there. Can she actually take me through again what are the proposals again? Just like slowly now, so that I can actually apply my mind quickly.
Honourable, we'll just take all the questions and then are you done now, Honourable Trump?
Yes, I'm done. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's fine. So we'll go to the next and we take all the questions and then come back. Thank you. Honourable Mbuyani.
Thank you, Chairperson, once again. Jefferson, thanks, man. I just wanted to check because in terms of the five issues that were dealt with, one of them was the issue of broadcast. I'm not so sure whether it has been presented as well today. But my proposal was that we must look at the issue of broadcast. They talk of wireless and the wire transmission in keeping with the international law. I think I wanted to check is that whether we still have the wire or we take the wireless. And what are the consequences of deleting the wire transmission and taking the wireless? The other one, Chair, is the question of lawful acquired. Because here, the private coping exception in Section 2B1A is overly broad. And it could apply to private copies that were unlawfully acquired, which will not comply with the three-step test. So I just wanted to check that because I still have some recommendation with regards to that. The other one is the TPM, the clause which is the technological protection measures. I agree with the DTIC recommendation to retain the amendment to the definition of technological protection measures. And also welcome that this includes the addition of product and also is designed to definition. Then the other one is the technological protection measures circumvention device or services. Yeah, I also agree with the recommendation of the DTIC to retain the amendment with the definition of technological protection measures circumvention. However, for clarity, I think we'll propose that we add the performed to the list of activities in the subsection to also reflect the addition of the services in definition. There's also this one, but I think I'll come back on this one, the 29 section 28P. I'll come back on a later stage on that one. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Honorable Malamacha.
Thank you, Chair. Let me start by saying.
Can you just speak closer to your microphone, please?
No, thanks, man. I have a flu of some sort. If I'm not audible, you can tell me to raise my voice. I'll do so.
Yes, please
Am I audible now?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Yes, thanks. One, on the mentioning of the author, if it to be specific, if you are to deal in education, that in education, one will recommend that the author must time and again in practically so be mentioned. Reason being, we protect the author's rights. Should we not do that, we are not far from encouraging the reproduction where the author's loyalty is not protected. I wanted the advocate to note that. Then there is this issue of the technological protection measures. Then the third one, the freedom of third parties to offer accessories and consumption. As much as I want to agree with the recommendation, but it must be clearly allowed, provided this it will also assist to create jobs. Because if we just do it and at the very same time, it is not necessarily benefiting the masses, then it is not far from being a fake. It is not far from allowing forgery. It is not far from doing people doing things in the backyard where the issue of guarantee is also questionable. I just wanted to let it be known that we are noting that the allowance to the third parties to can even do the services, as long as it will be providing job, it will also be assisting that it is not one team that is doing everything. With that, Chairperson, I think I will also follow the way of Comrade Mbuyane and agree with the recommendation. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Sring.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just have two questions. So one is, does our legal team believe that these amendments will actually meet constitutional muster? And secondly, in terms of the guidance from the President and the reasons that the President sent this the bill back, there have been concerns that the amendments actually go beyond the ambit given by the President. And so what is the legal response to those concerns? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I think, Advocate Van der Merwe, this question that Honorable Spring is bringing and also Dr. Masocha is a recurring question in our deliberations. So I think we must be very clear why it is that we are looking at other matters. Because, for instance, was technological protection measures, as an example, part of the remissions from the President? And it was not. So why are we looking at it? I think for the committee and for South Africa at large, we must be clear why we are looking at it. I don't see any further hands. Over to you, Dr. Masocha and Advocate Van der Merwe. I think there are some issues that were raised that's not, we're looking at each of these five areas that you presented, but I think Honorable Mbuyane went beyond that in broadcasting. So I think let's just stick to that for now, the five areas that we are looking at. If there's something that's related to the other table that you've circulated, let's come back to that so that we stay within each of these five areas as we go along. Thank you very much. Oh, I see this further hand. Honorable Burns Mwamashe, and then Honorable Tswaku. You wanted to ask another question before Advocate Van der Merwe clarifies you.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Then Honorable Burns Mwamashe and then Honorable Tswaku.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Perhaps what I want to ask, it may also be related to what Honorable Drink raised regarding the constitutionality of the issues raised, because as you have correctly pointed out, Honorable Chair, that our response ought to have been limited to the reservations expressed by the President. But then part of that which was raised by the President was around the tagging of the bill. Now, with the tagging of the bill having been changed from Section 75 to Section 76, what are the implications in the sense that there are now issues additional to those reservations expressed by the President? And wouldn't this perhaps create an opportunity when, as part of Section 76, the NCOB takes up the matter and then those issues are raised during that process of the NCOB, rather than them being raised at this stage at the National Assembly? So these are the questions I just wanted to check, so as to ensure that we are consistent in terms of our approach as well as the methodology that we are following. Thank you very much.
Honorable Twaku.
No, thank you very much, Chair. Just on the technological, the protection, I just wanted to ask the advocate in terms of how is the Facebook dealing with this measure? Is they are quick to and picking up the usage of copyrighted material and mute the sound of any posting to be violating the copyright. And I wanted to really check in terms of this protection, will it, maybe on the advice of the advocate, will it actually protect more the originators and what happened to the people who their rights have been taken, that have been owned by these national record companies, and maybe they want to play their own music, will actually be stopped from doing that? Do you think that there's a need? We think that there's a need that we must expropriate, the copyrights from the holders to return back to the real owners. So what is your actual view on that? I think for now I'll stop the chain and then maybe get the whole clarity. I don't know if maybe now we are actually asking this question in general, because I think one of the questions I asked as well was to say that what has changed before, and then there is a legislation about the president, and also in terms of are we addressing the non-constitutionality that was raised by the president as well. Okay, no, I'll stop for now, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Advocate Van der Merwe, and then Dr. Masocha.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I'll start from the first couple of questions. I think Mr. McPherson's was more a comment speaking about deliberations, and that is where the document with the table comes in, because that contains all of the proposals, and that is then something that the committee can consider from there. It also speaks to some of Ms. Mbuyani's questions. Mr. Twaku asked that I take slowly, just go through all the proposals. So the table document is there, I won't repeat that. In respect of the five outstanding issues, the one was in respect of technological protection measure, and whether we should be strict or whether we should keep in mind the balance that is required. And the recommendation here is that although we understand the protection that must be given to copyright owners, the balance that we are trying to achieve in this bill is also something that plays a role. And what we are recommending here is that we make clear what the link is with infringement, because you should be able to circumvent a technological protection measure if that action is not infringing on copyright. That is a bit of a grey area, but as it was explained from the department, it is a new area. It is something that the world is grappling with. And we need to keep in mind that the unintended consequences are something that we don't want at this point in time. So that is the proposal on technological protection measure and the definition for circumvention device, to revert to what the bill was, but in respect of TPMs to add to the measures themselves to add product, and in respect of the circumvention device to add service. In respect of the usage of fair practice or extent justified by the purpose, here we are proposing various uses depending on the specific exception. And we are proposing that by looking at the exact wording of the treaty. So in respect of quotation and teaching or education, we are proposing both fair practice and extent justified by the purpose be used, because that is how the Berne Convention in Article 10, 1 and 2 deals with it. In respect of reporting on current events and lectures, addresses and sermons, there the Berne Convention uses extent justified by the purpose, so we recommend that we only use that. In respect of translations and personal copies, we recommend the use of fair practice, because the test for fair practice, or the meaning of fair practice as a test, as explained by the guideline to the Berne Convention, is the closest to Article 9 of the Berne Convention, which is where we feel translation exception and the personal copy exception will fit in. In respect of making mentioning the name of the author as far as is practicable, our recommendation is that on most of the exceptions this not be included. In other words, the requirement is that you must mention the name of the author. And we looked at this in respect of what is currently in the Act, what is possible. And it's only in respect of education and academic activities that we propose practicality be included. Then in respect of offences, it is our proposal that when it comes to the offence of communicating a work to the public and making it available to the public, that whether your action was for commercial purposes or for non-commercial purposes, that must be an offence. Then we're also proposing that negligent actions not be made part of offences. And here it is specific in respect of communicating the work and then dealing with technological protection measures, so that negligence not be included there. So here, that is just quickly again going through all the recommendations on those five. At this point in time, like I said, the issues raised by Mr. Biani, the issue of broadcast, that is in the table. Our proposal was to retain wire. Lawfully acquired, our proposal was that that is too strict and that we remove the wording for lawfully acquired. I think in respect of TPMs, he was just saying that he agrees. The questions in respect of the author and the education, the practicality, the reason for removing as far as it is practicable from most of the exceptions is to ensure that the moral rights of the author is always protected. So that is why in the majority we recommend that it be retained. But we also kept in mind the concerns raised in respect of that it might not practically be possible. And in that regard, we're only recommending it in respect of education and academic activities. Then the questions on constitutionality and the president's reservation. The issue of constitutionality, as far as I am presenting on the amendments, I am making it clear to the committee that when I have a constitutional concern, I will raise that with the committee immediately. I have done so. There was a request for certain of the offences to have strict liability, and I was concerned about that being unconstitutional, and I immediately advised the committee in that regard. So at this point in time, all the proposals that are before the committee, in my view, are constitutional. Perhaps I can also just add here that in respect of amendments, the other questions that might come up is, do we need house permission? It's my opinion that none of the recommendations that we've done will require house permission. It is further my view that none of the proposed recommendations that we made will require further advertisement. So all three of those things, the committee is allowed to make those amendments without further permission, without further advertising, and in my view, they are all constitutional. Then the big concern about the president's reservations. Now, Section 79(1) is dealt with in our joint rules around Rule 203. And what our rules provide for is two types of referral. The one is substantive and the one is procedural. A substantive referral is very limited. The president will say, I am concerned that Clause 5 is unconstitutional because of these reasons. And then the committee is limited to Clause 5. And the committee may not go broader to consider anything else. Then there's also a procedural concern. Now, procedural concern could be anything from when the House met, there wasn't a quorum. That happened on performing animals. That it was referred back because there wasn't a quorum in the NCLP. So that's a procedural concern. Another procedural concern could be that there wasn't sufficient public participation, either on the whole bill or in respect of specific clauses. another constitutional, another procedural concern could be in relation to tagging, so that the bill, in other words, didn't follow the correct procedure. The referral before this committee is touching on both. So we have both substantive concerns, and one of those concerns relate to the retrospective clauses. And here I can also speak to the question of Mr. Twaku in respect of that. The bill made provision that where a person a person's work was obtained by a third party, so the author is no longer the copyright owner, and there's still profit to be made, then there should be some method for that author to still benefit, even if this happened years and years and years ago, because that was the concern, where authors' works were bought up and they got a pittance for it. However, the concern that the president raised is that this retrospective application might not be constitutional because it is vague. And that is correct, and that was the advice that I also gave to the committee. Although the sentiment is fine and it will pass constitutional muster, the process with which we need to address that is something that needs more consideration. And the proposal in the bill was for the minister to make regulation, but the concern there was also that because our constitution does not allow delegation of plenary powers, in other words, the ability to make law cannot be delegated. So what is normally delegated? Things like operational matters, how a process will work, how forms will be filled out. It's very limited what can be delegated to the minister. And in this regard as well, for the minister to now set out a process that actually determines who will get this this retrospective application, how will we deal with copyright owners, what if it was sold onto a third party from the original copyright owner, all of these questions were so vague that it did affect the rule of law. And our proposal to the committee was that although the substantive issue, the protection of these authors, has merit and will pass constitutional muster, it is necessary for a process to be developed by the department and brought back to this committee. And that is why we recommended that those clauses be deleted. So that is one of the substantive issues that the president raised. And that is why also our advice at that stage was for those clauses to be deleted. It's a subsection in three clauses that will be deleted, that the committee has, I think, already agreed on. And that is where the committee was limited to that specific section. But then the president also raised the concern that there wasn't sufficient public consultation on fair use and the exceptions thereabout. So that opened the whole issue of fair use and all the specific exceptions, the hybrid exceptions. And in fact, the president listed the ones affected. So those are the ones that we've been looking at. And looking at public consultation, the moment you open it up for public consultation, we did try and warn the committee that some comments were on clauses that are not open. And there we would advise the committee we cannot consider those comments. But where the comments were on fair use, where they dealt with the exceptions and the fairness around these exceptions, those all have to now be considered by the committee because of the procedural process around it. Then further on, the president also raised the concern of compliance with the treaties. And again, all the exceptions then had to be tested against the treaties. So it is not the whole bill that is open. It is simply those clauses that deal with fair use, the exceptions insofar as public participation was concerned, and then also in respect of compliance with the treaties. So in fact, if we work through the whole bill, you'll note that there's a number of clauses that are not open. It is only those that relate to either specifically the substantive issues raised by the president or those affected by the public participation or the question of compliance with treaties. Okay, then there were some last questions in respect of Facebook and expropriation of copyright from owners. The issue with Facebook, I'm not 100% sure what was referred to. I don't think it really goes around technological protection measures. It might in some way, but I think the concern in respect of Facebook is more where a person posts a photograph that was taken by someone else, or where a person would post a song that was released by someone else. I'm not 100% up to date with Facebook's rules, but I do know that they try to block content where you are clearly not the owner, and you will have to convince them that you actually are the owner, or that you have the right to use it. Whether that is sufficient, that unfortunately I cannot express a view on. That is either going to be a very, very in-depth legal opinion that will have to follow from that question, or it will have to be in respect of specific posts. In respect of expropriating copyright, you know, and I think it refers also to this issue of the retrospective application. Copyright is, intellectual property is property, so that it does fall under Section 25 of the Constitution. And as such, it is protected from arbitrary deprivation, and there's a whole requirement if expropriation happens. So while I cannot say that yes or no, this should happen, what I can say is that it is property, and therefore Section 25 is applicable, and a person may be deprived of that property as long as it is in terms of a law of general application, and as long as that law doesn't allow for arbitrary deprivation. And then if it is expropriated, it must be for a public person purpose or in the public interest, and there is the requirement of subject to compensation. Now, we've had also the whole argument on compensation on the amendment of the Constitution. I won't go into that in depth, but the agreement was that it could be no compensation. But all of those requirements will have to be complied with in order for expropriation to be constitutional. So yes, it is possible. It will have to comply with Section 25. Okay, there's also just one aspect. I'm not sure where I missed the question, but it was something that came up in my mind to explain to the committee. I think it was about the constitutionality. What we need to keep in mind in this bill is that Section 25 is not the only human right that is contained in Chapter 2. Intellectual property is property, and it falls under Section 25. But there are also the rights to equality, human dignity, freedom of expression, a number of other rights that also come into play. And I know that at the moment, I think the committee is aware that the Constitutional Court considered the rights of persons with a disability, especially with sight, in respect of books and making books available in an alternative format copy. And this is exactly what this bill is trying to do. The bill is trying to balance all of these other rights in the Constitution with the rights of copyright owners to their property. And the Balancing Act is not an easy act. But we need to just keep in mind that as long as what we provide for is not arbitrary, is a law of general application, we are allowed to protect these other rights as well. And that is what we're trying to do with the bill, and that is what I'm keeping in mind when I advise this committee on constitutionality. Thank you, Chair. I think that was all the questions. I'm sure Dr. Masocha might want to add on one or two. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Advocate van der Merwe. Can I just take Honourable Mulder's hand before I hand over to Dr. Masocha? Honourable Mulder.
Thank you for bearing with me, Honourable Chair. Thank you for the Advocate as well. Just want to ask one question, and please, I hope I'm out of order. And it's all about the submissions that's been made to the committee that we received just for the weekend. Advocate van der Merwe mentioned that all of the act is not open to full consideration, but all the portions that's got to do with or speaks to fair use, etc. What I want to know is if there are stakeholders in the South African industry who submitted in writing to the committee, and they've made specific requests that speak to the fact that they don't advise that the bill could be accepted and that it should be substantially redrafted. How would the committee handle it? What would the advocate advise in this instance? I mean, the committee could discuss the way forward later, but I just want to know what Advocate Van der Merwe's view is on this. There are specific role players or stakeholders, for instance, Netflix, South African Institute for Electoral Property and others, who specifically request the committee to redraft and to do socio-economic impact study, etc., etc. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Mulder. Advocate? No, okay, let me first go to Dr. Masoja and then I can come back to Advocate Van der Merwe. Dr. Masoja?
Thank you, Chair. I will start with the issue of Facebook and the originators who have lost in terms of their rights and the benefits and so on. In terms of Facebook, not all the content that is in Facebook is infringing content, meaning that there are license implications and there are contractual arrangements that allow for some of that content to be there. So I know that there has been, and there are issues with conglomerates that deal with information. And there are some of, depending on the perspective, they are viewed negatively in terms of how they abuse content. So not all content that is online is unlawful, and so there are rules in terms of how they apply. But then in terms of the points that Advocate also spoke to on the rights of the right holders, yes, there was a context. The bill was trying to address that issue, but then there are still provisions in the Act that talk to how contracts should be addressed, and I think part of the rights of the authors, rights of the rights holders, they have to do with contractual issues. And as much as there are now amendments to the bill based on the advice of the president and the reservations that he has raised, issues of contract are still there. So we are hoping that with the amendment bill, issues of contracting will be strengthened, and that there will be more the bargaining of rights will be strengthened. One of the measures or the provisions that have been incorporated in the bill, and of course it's not subject to this debate now, is the Copyright Tribunal, the role of the tribunal in terms of addressing disputes that may come about in terms of these unfair practices that may affect the authors, that may affect the right holders. So in totality, the bill will then deal with some of these difficult issues that are very complex, especially with rights of authors and users that are not permitted. So we think that issues of contract, issues of licensing, they also play a part. So that talks to, even though the retrospectivity provisions have been removed, the issues of contract still remain critical, and the bill is still strong in terms of other measures like your tribunal mediation measures that will be introduced once it's passed into law. In terms of the additional issues that are introduced in this process, from our perspective as the DTIC, we are of the view that all the issues that have been deliberated on from the public participation process are within the confinements of the issues that were raised by the president. And we are saying this because we are here now with the current amendments that have been informed by the public, starting from in 2021 when there were public hearings, and then there were further issues that needed to be addressed. Where it appears we are moving outside the scope of what has been provided for by the president or raised. For instance, I'll take the Marrakesh Treaty, the issue of the authorized entity. In the bill that was adopted, the authorized entity was not there. How it comes about, for instance, when we look at the treaty implications, alignment to the treaty, in the public participation process, it was highlighted that we do need to have an entity, an authorized entity, in line with the Marrakesh Treaty. Hence, now we have a definition of an authorized entity. The same applies to treaties like your WIPO copyright treaty, when you look at issues of the technological protection measures. So the treaty implications also brought about new or some or amendments or suggestions to improve the certain definitions. And so we see some of these amendments coming from the treaty implications, alignment to the international treaties, which is one of the areas that they, was highlighted in the letter of the president. In terms of the other amendments, say for instance, lawfully acquired, the definition of unlawful acquired, that has to do with the proposed amendments that the advertisement that went out in the first call, and to strengthen some of the provisions, the public made proposals. As you recall, last week we also looked at the implications for the broadcasters, the ephemeral exception. So those were brought about as in an attempt to correct or to strengthen the bill. So when you see these new terms, the thinking could be these are new areas, but it's because they come from the public participation. They were informed by the initial call of comments that went out to the public, and combined with the treaty implications, then we have this set of amendments. So we also view that we are in line in terms of the reservations that were raised by the president. And also when in our contact in the department, when Minister brought in a group of experts to assist us with issues of constitutionality, we looked at them, and the view was that the issues that have been raised, and there were, we didn't pick up constitutionality concerns. And so we agree with the advocate in that regard, that we have the view that we are in line with the concerns of the president. The constitutionality issues have been addressed, and the issues that we are addressing now, they don't have those constitutional implications. There was a question around the technological protection measures, the implications, and the accessories. And although it was talking more from a developmental perspective to say with the accessories, how will this benefit our economy from the consumer protection point of view, and also from the company's perspective of those who will be responsible for those accessories. The accessories point that advocate raised was along the lines of the freedoms that you were talking to. And it talks to consumer protection, and yes, it also talks to issues of competition, because if only a particular company or entity can be the one that develops these accessories, and it, so there could be issues of dominance in terms of where are those accessories coming from, and also issues of access are affected. We think that by addressing the definition of the technological protection measures and the technological circumvention device, we are dealing with that point to say we are hoping that the market will have a level playing field. There will be issues of balance and fairness and fair competitive practices. And by so doing, we will then have a fair market environment that will then allow various role players to have access to the market. The way that we're envisaging having strong technological measures was, we were of the view, or we are of the view, is going to have those unintended consequences. And the unintended consequences will also talk to issues where now the market will be constrained, there will be monopolies and dominance, and also access will be affected. And that's where issues of consumer protection, competition law, they come into play. So we think that having these new recommendations around the technological protection measures and the definitions, we will circumvent those challenges. And all in all, now to talk to the protections and the rights that the bill provides, the technological protection measures will have a role that they play in terms of ensuring that there is that protection for the authors and the rights holders. we are also of the view that even if they may not be as strong as how other stakeholders have anticipated or proposed, compared to the current legislation that is not digitally inclined, very old in terms of when it was developed and promulgated, when we have these TPMs now, we will be in a better position as a country to be able to withstand these online challenges, online infringements that are there. And because it's a new terrain, we are going to learn as we go along, because it's a new space. And as I've indicated earlier, the world is grappling with these issues. So we think that the approach of having reducing them to the level that to where the bills were, with a few amendments of adding products and services, we think that it will have a positive impact. And we will also try from this angle to avoid those unintended consequences. So I think in terms of the company scheme, these were areas where I thought I could add from the points that were raised by the advocate as well. Honorable Mbuyane spoke about adding performed, and I on that one, we have recommended adding services to the circumvention device definition. So we think that the concerns that were overall raised on some of the issues have been taken into consideration. The author is very important. I agree with Honorable Madimeta that the moral rights of the owner should always be taken into consideration. The name of the author is very important. It plays an important role to that right, and also to recognition of the work that they are innovating. So I'll stop there, Chair, and thank you so much for those questions.
Thank you very much. Advocate van der Merwe, I think Honorable Mulder's question is still standing.
Yes, Jim. So if I may respond to that, Joint Rule 203 deals with the process in the Assembly when a bill is referred back. Sub Rule 3 indicates what are the three things that a committee may do. One, the committee, if it agrees with the reservations, this committee has indicated it does. It can recommend in its report how a procedural defect can be corrected. It did so. There was an interim report that this committee filed, indicated that we should advertise for further submissions. B is to present its report and with that report an amended bill correcting the constitutional defect in the bill. And C, recommend that the Assembly rescind its decision to pass the bill and reject the bill if it regards the bill as being procedurally or substantively so defective that it cannot be corrected. So that is what the committee is limited to. Now, the question of redraft would affect the whole bill, and it is not something that is open to this committee at this point in time. I quickly just worked through the bill. You know, it feels like we are dealing with a lot of matters. In fact, we are dealing with a lot of matters. But this bill has 38 clauses. This committee has only been dealing with 9. So that means that there are 29 clauses in this bill that are currently not open for discussion. There are some of these clauses that have technical amendments. We've got a precedent for technical amendments, and what are the technical amendments? Correcting cross-references and correcting the drafting so that the gender of the bill is gender neutral, or the gender used in the bill is gender neutral. But those technical amendments does not mean that it opens that clause up. It is simply a technical amendment, and the committee will have to indicate that in its report to the House when it presents the amended bill. So we're dealing with 9 clauses only out of a bill that has 38. And some of those clauses are very long. I think one of the clauses actually inserts 2 schedules. So it's a big bill. And when the committee looks at the options that the committee has, redrafting is not a possibility. We cannot redraft this bill. There's only 9 clauses out of 38 open. If the committee, however, feels that procedurally we cannot address what the president's reservations were, then the committee could reject the whole bill. However, if we look at the history of this bill, the committee filed an interim report suggesting that we can address the procedural concern of the president by opening this bill up for further public participation. And let me just immediately correct myself, not the whole bill, the clauses that the president were concerned about to do further consultation on that. So the committee has already indicated that it is procedurally possible for this bill to be corrected. And the committee has done those steps. So if the committee is now of the view, for whatever reason, of the view that the bill is substantively, in other words, the content, and we must then look at the whole bill's content, all 38 clauses. If all 38 clauses are so substantively defective that it cannot be corrected, then the committee may reject the bill. So it's also not even an easy option for this committee. Should the committee be of the view that these 9 clauses are so substantively so defective, then the recommendation would be to reject the 9 clauses. I think that's almost the only option for the committee. If we now look at what is allowed by 203, and if we apply what has happened so far in this committee, to this bill, and we look at what the options are that are left. In my view, if I look at 203, in respect of the 9 clauses that are open before the committee can reject them, the committee can accept them as they are in the bill as passed, or the committee can amend them. And I think at this point in time, it seems to me that the committee, or rather that the proposals from the public and the recommendations that we are making is in respect of either retaining them or amending them. But of course, it is open to the committee to also reject these clauses, change the amendments that are proposed, etc. But yeah, so the big concern is Joint Rule 203, and that is what we are tied to. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Van der Merwe. Honourable members, there we have the responses. Can we check if there's any further discussion? A show of hands. Okay, Honourable McPherson.
Yeah, thanks, Chair.
I'm
just trying to find out now, are we sort of coming to a place where we need to make a decision? Do you want parties to put their positions on the table? How do you want to proceed? Thanks.
No, we are not at that point yet. We're just discussing the input that's been made now by the department and by our legal Parliament Legal Services. So we must still go back to the big document that was circulated with all the amendments. So we're just discussing what was put on the table for today. But I have nothing prevents you from discussing whatever else we discussed last week. Do you want to speak on the matter, Honourable McPherson?
No, as I said, I think that, you know, we've put our position on the table, and I think that the committee sort of needs to decide which way it wants to go in the absence of wanting to have those discussions about, you know, as a committee about these issues. But that's obviously for your guidance, but we are prepared when you are ready for us to put the position of what should happen with the bill going forward. Thanks.
Thank you. Honourable Malamacha?
No, thanks, Chair. I think it will be unlike me if we, I don't say what I think I have to say. I think, Madam Masoja, the manner in which you dealt with the technological protection measure, especially the freedom of the third party, you explained in a way that I think, I don't know on the bill how it can be written. It was so simple and understandable in a way that it talks exactly how it's supposed to. Therefore, if one can say it's not answered and is not recommending that to go, one will be jealous of the good work that has happened. Because mine is that it's only doing it so that people can understand what I so that at the end of the day, they understand that if Mercedes Benz, for example, produce nothing stops the third powers to produce the pairs that can also fit Mercedes Benz. I'm saying the manner in which you articulate it, it also deals with the market itself, how the market the other part of the dealing with this act. I just wanted to say I'm very happy with that explanation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Your line was a bit bad, but I think we got the gist of your input. Honorable Tlaku.
No, thank you very much, Chair, and also thank you very much, the advocate. I think now at least now there's some clarification on some other issues. You know, Chair, I think that we might, the issue now of the expropriation of the material of the originators, whether they be artists or writers and all of that, if it's actually removed from the bill, for me, it's actually a huge, you know, the concern probably might be done before I actually join in, because what we're experiencing in South Africa with many creators and is that their material is fitting with the these companies that sort of, you can say, exploited them. They actually locked them into these contracts, which were very complicated in such a way that a person does not own. So it's actually very problematic if it's actually removed now from this bill, because it would have actually prevented a situation where you find that many artists and all the performers and creators, the originators of material, die actually poor, which is what we're seeing here in South Africa. I'll probably try and persuade the committee to really look into that, because that's what the artists out there have been crying about, the exploitation of their material by these, the companies. But and also, in a chair, I appreciate the explanation for the Facebook issue. We can deliver it further. And think, I don't know, Chair, if maybe I would be out of order. There seems to be an issue now on the enforcement of the monitoring by the regulator. We seem to be very, lenient towards the old SAMHSA, and as opposed to IMPRA, who are currently the only collecting, the performers and amendment bill. I wanted to check if this bill will be able to really open up in terms of, you have other societies which will be able, to collect. And also if there will be a situation where a regulator will be able to ensure that the enforcement of the operations of these two, societies is actually equal. In other words, you'll never be able, to really prosecute IMPRA and then maybe leave SAMPRO, be lenient, like the other one. Will this bill be able, to take care of that, ensure that there's a fairness in terms of the enforcement of the operations of these two, the entities? I will just stop there, Chair, for now, as I'm just cruising, getting to the bill very nicely, but I still also require, maybe with your permission, maybe after this, maybe we can conduct, the advocates, maybe to ask all those other clauses, since I've actually joined you guys later, just for my understanding, those 28 odd clauses, just to get through them. But I think that her explanation and the slow pace, I think maybe it really understands what is this bill all about and where are we actually heading. That's the only problem now that I actually have, I think personally, and I think the other artists and the content, the creatures, I think is the issue now of the ownership of their material, which was taken or which were exploited, way back, before this thing that actually came in and all of that. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Can I hand back to Advocate van der Merwe and Dr. Masotjo to speak on those inputs? Thank you.
Chair, at this point, I think that Ms. McPherson was not really, I didn't really spot a legal question as such. I think it is more in respect of policy and how things work. So if I may bow out and hand over to Dr. Masucha on that, I think she will have better answers.
Dr. Masucha?
Thank you, Chair. The way I understood Mr. McPherson's input or comment was about the process, and I saw them as the process of the committee. So I will maybe leave that one for now as part of the processes that we are undertaking, and from your guidance, Chair. I'll talk to the collecting society point about the role of the regulator, enforcement, and the fact that there seems to be preference between the two collecting societies that are currently being overseen by the regulator. So I won't speak to the merits of the issues around the two collecting societies, because some of the times, and I'm not sure now, some of the issues form part of litigation when they are subject to court applications. So I would say that in terms of the issues of the collecting societies, the previous committee spent a lot of time on strengthening the regulation of the collecting societies. So one of the rights that was looked at was the right of the freedom of association from the Constitution, the right of association. And so they have been opened up to say that there should be an accreditation process, and there could be as many collecting societies as possible. So that space is opened up in terms of the current state of the bill. And another measures were added in terms of their accreditation, issues of governance and reporting that needs to be taken into consideration. And the bill was strengthened on the role of collecting societies and their rights in terms of collecting societies, and also how they interact with their members. So the current situation, or the situation at the when the debates were taking place then, was that there were many irregularities with collecting societies. There were many challenges with how they operate, how the issues of collections, how they pay royalties, and the issues of membership and duplication of membership. So there are challenges, and I know that our regulator is doing its best in terms of trying to deal with the current challenges within the current regulatory framework. But just to give the members a comfort is that with the amendments that have been incorporated in the bill to strengthen the work of the collecting societies and how they deal with performers and how they deal with authors and so on has been strengthened. So issues of accreditation, issues of how members are dealt with, as I've mentioned, governance, they will be dealt with in a better manner than they have been previously. So I think on the issues of the two collecting societies that were mentioned as an example, if there are challenges that the honourable member is aware of, they could be referred to CRPC and us, and we can maybe see how we can address them or try to clarify some of these issues. Because when issues are raised in the media, and one then doesn't get to get a bigger picture of what is happening as compared to a regulator who receives documents on the table, who has to check compliance with certain requirements, whether a collecting society has to have financial reports or other reporting criteria or so on. So it might be that what is presented in the public versus the actual in terms of compliance are two different things. So we might be in a better position with the regulator to clarify some of the concerns that the honourable member is raising. So I would recommend that maybe they reach out to our regulator to talk to some of these issues. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Can I just remind all our guests who has joined us on the platform that the chat is only for members. So I please appeal to you to refrain from posting in the chat, just as a procedural matter, because this is a sitting of the Portfolio Committee. Thank you very much. I want to propose, members, if there are no other inputs you want to make now, that we consider, we go to the big list that Advocate van der Merwe sent out, and then I think I must ask that the issues that we consider today be put in that table, and that we then deliberate tomorrow. We'll go clause by clause, and because there is enough time, we've made provision within the program of the PC to have further deliberations. So that is my proposal. Can I see if there's any opposition to that proposal? It seems like silence is consent, and we will then thank everyone who has joined us and for the inputs made by the department and our legal department, and that we will then proceed tomorrow in to look at each of the clauses clause by clause. Thank you very much. Thank you. Can we, Committee Secretary, just check what's the next agenda item?
Chair, the next agenda item is the consideration of the report that was referred back to the committee. But may I suggest maybe we take a 10-minute comfort break, Chair, and then before we proceed, it's...
Thank you.
Is that up to the committee? The committee,
yes, we have allowed for that. So we'll take a comfort break and come back at 10:47. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair.